The following is a Sunday feast lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 8, text number 14, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on July 6th, 2008, in Atlanta, Georgia, USA.
So, today at this most auspicious gathering in New Pandihati Dham, we will study from the most wonderful book in the whole existence, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, as it is, translated and purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Chapter number 8, text number 14.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Ananya Cheta Satatang. Yomang smarati nityasha. Tasyaham sulabha parto. Nitya yuktasya yogina. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. For one who remembers me, without deviation, I am easy to obtain, O son of Prita, because of his constant engagement in devotional service. Purport. In this verse, the bhakti yoga of the unalloyed devotees of the Supreme Godhead is described. The preceding verses mention four different kinds of devotees: the distressed, the inquisitive, those who seek material gain, and the speculative philosophers. Different processes of liberation from material entanglement have also been described: karma yoga, jnana yoga, and hatha yoga. But here, bhakti yoga, without any mixture of these, is mentioned. In bhakti yoga, the devotees desire nothing but Krishna. The pure bhakti yogi does not desire promotion to heavenly planets, nor does he seek salvation or liberation from material entanglement. A pure devotee does not desire anything. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the pure devotee is called Nishkam, which means he has no desire for self-interest. Perfect peace belongs to him alone, not to them who strive for personal gain. The pure devotee only wants to please the Supreme Lord, and so the Lord says that for anyone who is unflinchingly devoted to him, he is easy to attain. The devotee can render service to any of the transcendental forms of the Supreme Lord, and he meets with none of the problems that plague the practitioners of other yogas. Bhakti yoga is very simple and pure and easy to perform. One can begin simply by chanting Hare Krishna. Krishna is very merciful to those who engage in his service, and he helps in various ways that devotee who is fully surrendered to him, so he can understand him as he is. The Lord gives such a devotee sufficient intelligence so that ultimately the devotee can attain him in his spiritual kingdom. The special qualification of the pure devotee is that he is always thinking of Krishna without considering the time or place. There should be no impediments.
He should be able to carry out his service anywhere and at any time. Some say that the devotees should remain in the holy places like Vrindavan or some holy town where the Lord lived, but a pure devotee can live anywhere and create the atmosphere of Vrindavan by his devotional service. It was Sri Advaita who told Lord Chaitanya, "Wherever you are, O Lord, there is Vrindavan." A pure devotee constantly remembers Krishna and meditates upon him. These are qualifications of the pure devotee for whom the Lord is most easily attainable. Bhakti Yoga is the system that the Gita recommends above all others. Generally, the Bhakti Yogas, the Bhakti Yogis, are engaged in five different ways. One, Shanta Bhakta, engaged in devotional service and neutrality. Two, Dasha Bhakta, engaged in devotional service as servant. Sakya Bhakta, engaged as friend. Vatsalya Bhakta, engaged as parent. And Madhurya Bhakta, engaged as conjugal lover of the Supreme Lord. In any of these ways, the pure devotee is always constantly engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Lord and cannot forget the Supreme Lord. And so for him, the Lord is easily attained. A pure devotee cannot forget the Supreme Lord for a moment. And similarly, the Supreme Lord cannot forget his pure devotee for a moment. This is the great blessing of the Krishna conscious process of chanting the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Pada Kamala Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupa Sagra Jata Bhagana Raghunatan Vritantam Sajivam Sudaitam Samadutam Purijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha This process is simply divine. It's really fine. It makes you feel good all the time. There is nothing like Krishna consciousness. Even the inhabitants of Brahmaloka, you see, if they are not Krishna conscious, they don't have what we can have right here, right now. There's no need to desire anything else. Simply desire Krishna. Make that your only desire, Krishna. Nothing but Krishna. And Krishna will reciprocate with you according to your degree of intense desire to have Him. This is a wonderful sentence Prabhupada has written here. A pure devotee cannot forget the Supreme Lord for a moment. And similarly, the Supreme Lord cannot forget his pure devotee for a moment. Wouldn't you like to have Krishna always thinking of you? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Krishna is always thinking of you, always seeing through your situation. Actually, this is confirmed elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, "Ananyaschintyanto mam yejana paryupasate teisham nityabhiyuktanam yogachemam vahamyaham." For those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. In a lecture, Prabhupada said, that means Krishna has a home delivery service. Whatever you need, he delivers it straight to your home. So even if you're out there in suburbia somewhere, far away from the temple, if you become exclusively dedicated to Krishna, you have no other love except Krishna, then Krishna will personally bring all the way to your suburban home, to your front door, whatever you need, materially and spiritually. All you have to do is be completely, totally, 100% sold out to that all-beautiful, all-powerful, all-renounced, all-wealthy, all-famous, and all-wise Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Krishna. There's nothing like this anywhere. There's nothing like what Prabhupada has given us. There is nothing like it anywhere in the universe. There's no need to run here and there looking for enjoyment, you see. All the enjoyment you could ever hope to have in millions and billions and trillions and quadrillions and quintillions and, you know, zillions. What can I say? Times more is available simply in one pure utterance of Hare Krishna. So if you're looking to amp up your joy in life, simply dive deeper and deeper and deeper into the chanting of Krishna's name. That's all you have to do. Everything you need to be unlimitedly successful, unlimitedly happy, to have all desires fulfilled, everything is right there in these syllables, Hare Krishna. It simply depends on our quality of uttering it, that's all. We can chant with some material desire. You see, well, I need a new car, so I'm going to chant Hare Krishna. You may get your new car, but you won't get Krishna. You see. Therefore, a devotee shuns all material enjoyment. He only takes what is necessary to keep body and soul together. That's all. Because he understands excessive material enjoyment is my enemy. You see? It's my enemy. All we need is Krishna to be happy. In this verse, Krishna is saying, Ananya Chaita, which means without deviation. So what does this actually mean in a practical everyday sense, like Monday morning at the office sense? Remembering Krishna without deviation. How do you remember Krishna when you're at your corporate high-pressure job, you see, at every second without deviation? Is it possible? Some think, well, it's not. If you want to be successful, you just got to get in there and be a karmi. But no, that's not true. Arjuna was out there swimming with the crocodiles in the Battle of Kurukshetra. Did he forget Krishna in order to be successful in his corporate job? No. The more you become Krishna conscious, the more you can handle everything because you see everything in relation to Krishna. The devotee understands better what's going on in this world than the non-devotee because he sees where it's all coming from. He sees what is behind this material energy. Some karmis may be very expert at manipulating the material energy, but devotee ultimately is the most expert because he sees what is making this material energy work and why is it working in this way. That's it. So devotee can deal with the material nature without being contaminated by it. That is his expertise. Because behind the material energy, he sees Krishna pulling the string through his expanded form, the Vishnus. You see. Of course, in his original form, Krishna doesn't bother with that. He's just enjoying playing the flute, standing on the bank of the Jamuna in the moonlit night of the Sharad season, attracting the gopi girls. You see? That's his activity. So we have a very, very wonderful opportunity here to learn how to remember Krishna without deviation. So what is the trick? How do you do it on Monday morning when you show up at work? Well, the trick is you have to have very good sadhana. You must rise early in the morning. No later than 4 o'clock is the ideal. Rise early in the morning, take your bath, put on devotional clothing, tilak, sing the Gravastakam prayers to the spiritual master, and then chant japa with great focus and attention. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And then read Bhagavatam. If you have Tulsi Devi there, offer an arti to Tulsi Devi. Read the Bhagavatam, and then have a wonderful prasadam breakfast. Offer your foodstuffs to Krishna before eating, take your breakfast, and then you're ready to hit the freeway. You see? Now you're surcharged with bhakti, completely surcharged. And when you get to your office, instead of seeing it as just, you know, someone's XYZ corporation, you will see this is the energy of Krishna. When you pull up, you'll see the building. Oh, this is Krishna's energy. Bhumirapo nalavayu kangmano vadarevacha. You see, when you get to the office, as I was explaining earlier today at our gathering, when you get to your office and there's your boss, you see, your manager, he's so expert at making you work very, very hard, squeezing every ounce out of you. And you can think, oh, Krishna says, I am the ability in man. So my boss's expertise to squeeze every bit of energy out of me, that is Krishna. And then when you go to the break room to take a drink of water, you can think, Rasoham Apsukanteya. When I first had the great pleasure and good fortune of being in the presence, the physical presence of my eternal spiritual master and my eternal father, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, who's seated here today, it's not just a deity, by the way. I know, I saw Prabhupada crying tears of ecstasy in a Panihati festival years ago from the right eye. So I know this is not simply a deity. Prabhupada is actually seated here. So anyway, I had the good fortune in the summer of 1971 in Golden Gate Park. The Ratha Yatra, Prabhupada had flown in. From the airport he came straight to the Ratha Yatra site. He got on Subhadra Devi's car and he gave the most wonderful, wonderful lecture you could ever expect to hear. He said that to become Krishna conscious is not difficult. Simply requires practice. He said, every one of you are drinking water once, twice, thrice, more than that. He said, if every time you drink water, you remember that Krishna is the taste of the water, then immediately become Krishna conscious. So do all of you here drink water?
Yes.
Yeah? And even if you drink something else, juice, same principle. Any liquid thing. Prabhupada even said if the drunkard in the Bowery Street thinks the taste of the wine is Krishna, he becomes the greatest yogi. But don't do that, all right? But you can tell the drunkard in the street, who's drinking his wine bottle, you can say, you know what? The taste of the wine is Krishna. You can tell him that. And then he will come here and become a great yogi. And he'll give up his wine. So, in this way, Prabhupada explained how easy it is to be Krishna conscious. It simply requires practice. So how often should you practice it? Well, you have to practice it at every second. Whether you're at home, whether you're at the temple, whether you're in the office, whether you're with your friends, wherever you may be, in the traffic jams, wherever you may be, try to connect with Krishna, whatever you're doing. See everything as Krishna's energy, and therefore everything being meant for using in His service. The owner is the rightful enjoyer, not someone else. If somebody decides to take your card for a joyride, what is he called? He's called a thief. It's not his card. You're entitled to enjoy your card, and it's no one else. If somebody else wants to enjoy your wife, he is an adulterer. Or your husband. The proprietor, they have the enjoyment right. So the one who owns the car, he has the right to enjoy. No one else. So Krishna, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, he openly, definitely, solidly declares, I own everything. So, if Krishna owns everything, do you have the right to enjoy the property of Krishna? No, you do not. You have no right to enjoy the property of Krishna. You have the right to engage it in His service. That right you have, but not the right to enjoy it. You may say, but I want to be happy. You're taking away all my enjoyment. No. I'm showing you the secret of how to enjoy on the same level with the Supreme Enjoyer, Krishna. Because as soon as you engage everything in His service and give pleasure to Him by your every thought, your every word, and your every deed, guess what happens? You enjoy on an equal level with Him, and even the devotee can enjoy on a higher level than Krishna. That's why Lord Chaitanya appeared. Krishna saw that my beloved Srimati Radharani, she serves me so wonderfully, I'm the Supreme Enjoyer, she's serving me so wonderfully, but what is this? She is enjoying more than me. How is this possible? I am Supreme Enjoyer, and this girl, she is enjoying more than me. So Krishna is not one to be outdone. He says, I will taste that enjoyment. I will become my own devotee. So, seeing the bliss experienced by that beautiful golden-limbed girl, Gaurangi, Krishna says, I will become Gauranga. And I will also taste that nectar, which is even greater nectar than I taste as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The nectar of being a devotee is even greater nectar. So, Lord Chaitanya, I mean to say, Lord Krishna decided to become a Hare Krishna. He joined the Bhakta program, Bhakta Avatar. So, if God Himself has decided to become a Hare Krishna devotee, how cool must it be to be a Hare Krishna devotee? There's nothing more cool, more in, than being a devotee of Krishna. Because even Krishna wants to increase His own pleasure, which is already unlimited, but now His unlimited pleasure has become it's become infinitely more ecstatic, you see, by becoming a devotee. So this means there is unlimited bliss to be experienced when you become a devotee of Krishna. You can enjoy unlimited bliss. So why would anybody not want to be a devotee of Krishna? It just means they don't know what's going on. That's all it means. You see. Anybody who actually understands what is going on in existence, they will definitely surrender to Krishna 100%. Those who don't fully surrender to Krishna, they just don't really know what's going on. They're in the fog. They're thinking, well, maybe material enjoyment's where it's at, you know. Maybe this is where it's at. I try to enjoy my senses. But can you really enjoy your senses? Is it possible? Why not? I'll tell you why not. It's like, this is my favorite example, this chatter. Is this chatter me? No, it's not me. I may wear this chatter, I may not wear the chatter. But if I think the chatter is me, then when, you know, when someone brings me a bowl of strawberry ice cream, then I'll take the chatter and I'll dip it into the ice cream. Oh, I want to enjoy the ice cream. If you want to enjoy ice cream, you don't dip your chatter in the ice cream. Put it in your mouth. That's how you enjoy ice cream. So, if you want to enjoy, why are you trying to gratify your chatter? I mean, it's stupid, you know. Your genitals, your eyes, your ears, your nose, your tongue. Why are you trying to gratify the chatter? It's just a covering. It's a garment you're wearing. It's foolish. Should not be happy by gratifying your chatter, you know. It's the most stupid, asinine thing you could ever do. But this is what everybody's doing it. I remember there was a movie back in the 50s called It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. It really is. Because everybody's engaged in the Sanskrit, we call it Indriya Seva, serving the senses. The chatter, they want to give all of their service to the stupid chatter. You see? It's crazy. They're mad. Insane. Stupid. So, anyone who has intelligence, they understand if I'm not the body, I'm actually a spiritual being in quality one with the Lord. Let me find out what gives actual satisfaction to me. And let me do that which gives actual satisfaction to me. So what does give actual satisfaction to the self? The self is satisfied in relationship with the Supreme Self. That is how it happens. Just like when you feed your belly, all of the bodily parts become nourished. So the Supreme Self is the belly and all the living entities, they are the bodily parts. So if you will focus your consciousness on pleasing the Supreme Self, the origin of all existence, with whom you are eternally connected, you have simply forgotten that connection. If you will dovetail or focus your energies on pleasing that Supreme Source of all existence, that Supreme Person, then that mercy, that ecstasy, that bliss of spiritual life will shower you like torrents of rain in the monsoon season. You will be amazed. I had no idea that so much bliss could be experienced. You see? Krishna consciousness is ever increasing. In the beginning we taste so much nectar, but as we advance, we realize what I experienced in the beginning was nothing compared to what I'm tasting now, and it's not what I'm tasting now is nothing compared to what I will taste in the future. So talk about an exciting adventure. Therefore, those who actually understand what Krishna consciousness is all about, their only desire is to go deeper, 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 deeper into the Namamrita Sindhu, the nectarian ocean of the Lord's holy names. They have no desire except to go deeper, deeper, deeper into that ocean, closer and closer and closer to Krishna's lotus feet. And here's one of the amazing phenomena. No matter how close you get to Krishna's lotus feet, you can get closer and closer and closer for all of eternity. Doesn't make sense from a material viewpoint, does it? But it's a fact. No matter how close you get to Krishna, you can always get closer and closer and closer and closer. So we invite all of you to take this supreme journey out of the cycle of birth and death, back to your eternal identity which you had before you became envious of the Lord's supreme position and fell down here to be an imitation Bhagavan on the streets of Atlanta. So all we have to do is take shelter of the holy names, take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master, take shelter of the Vaishnavas. You see? And in this way, by taking shelter of these all merciful agents of the Lord, manifestations of the Lord, then we will feel how our consciousness is being delivered from all the anxieties of material existence. How slowly, slowly, slowly they're all being lifted off. Doesn't happen all of a sudden. Sometimes people think that spiritual enlightenment is like a zap of lightning. You know, the guru gives you some electric shock, and then all of a sudden you're enlightened. But actually it's not so much like that. Although maybe in rare cases, but the general system is like a sunrise in a beautiful spring morning. It's come little, gradually, slowly, slowly coming. One has to simply steadily engage in the process of chanting, following the regulated principles, taking prasadam, associating with devotees, reading Prabhupada's books, bowing down before the deities, taking charanamrita. You see, all the activities, taking shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, all of these activities, you take them up and faithfully, patiently execute them. And then gradually, 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 that beautiful Krishna sun rises within your heart and becomes a full-blown day where everything becomes visible and nothing remains in darkness. When the Krishna sun is fully arisen within your heart, then you can see everything clearly. There's nothing that remains in darkness for an enlightened Krishna-conscious person. So, kindly take to this process, be patient, be enthusiastic and be determined, and we absolutely guarantee you that day will come when you can see Krishna face to face and you can directly speak with Him. Actually, Prabhupada explains that devotees should be eager for that. He said, not as sahaja, but by sincere service. He should be very eager for that day when he can directly see Krishna and speak with Him. And Srila Prabhupada ordered me to do that. He said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. I asked him about songwriting one time, because I was a songwriter before I joined the movement. And he was giving me some tips how to write songs on a level of the great songwriters, Narottam, Bhaktivinoda, how I could write songs on their level. He was encouraging me to come to that point. He said, just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face, and then you can really write songs. So, we should make our whole life into a song, a song of glorifying Krishna. Our heart should always be singing the glories of Krishna. Our every word, our every activity or every thought, they should all be a beautiful song glorifying Krishna. The whole life should be a wonderful song. So anyway, I'm very, very happy to be with all of you here in this wonderful, wonderful dham. I remember my godbrother Gayatri Prabhu, he used to say, I gotta get back to the dham. So now I have come back to the dham. I'm here with all of you wonderful souls who are taking shelter of this wonderful atmosphere created by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, and I feel very fortunate and blessed that you have so kindly allowed me to be here in spite of my innumerable disqualifications. You've allowed me to be here with you today. So I have to thank you all for this. And now I can ask if there's any questions.
How do we know we are progressing in our spiritual
How do we know if we're in progressing in our spiritual endeavor? This is a very important question that she has asked. Because we have to really see that we're advancing. Because if we don't advance, then we will fall back. Krishna consciousness must be progressive. It's like when you're rowing upstream, you have to keep rowing, otherwise you're going to go the opposite direction. Of course, in the advanced stage, you go over the top and now you're just flowing downstream, advancing automatically. But as neophytes, we have to struggle to advance. We don't want to get up early in the morning. The body says, sleep in. We have to say, no, senses, time to get up. I have to please my spiritual master. He wants me to rise early in the morning. So it's a struggle in the beginning. So how do we know if we're progressing? If your taste is increasing for the holy name, if you're becoming more and more attracted to reading the Srila Prabhupada's books, if you're more and more attracted to take darshan of the beautiful, beautiful Lord, if you find that your taste is increasing, increasing, increasing for all aspects of Krishna consciousness, and your desire for sense gratification is gradually fading away, then you know you're making progress, very nice progress. So what do you do if that's not happening? If you're still being bombarded by the material desires, they're just the fire of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy is still fiercely burning in your heart, then what do you do? What do you do? You have to intensify your prayer to Krishna to save you. And what is the most perfect prayer? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he is praying. Kambe hambe bolo se dinama. When, oh, when will that day be mine? Aparada guchi, shudaname vuchi, kripa bole hambe hridoye sanchar. When my offenses ceasing, taste for the name increasing, when in my heart will your mercy shine? Kambe habe bolo se dinama. When, oh, when will that day be mine? So this way you have to hanker. When will that day come when I have an increase, when the taste for the name is increasing more and more and more? With every utterance it becomes more relishable, more sweet. Like a gulab jamun, you bite into it and it just becomes sweeter with every bite. Like that. See, when will the chanting be like taking the ultimate gulab jamun, the sweetest, juiciest gulab jamun I've ever experienced in my life, you see. At every moment, popping the ultimate gulab jamun, you see, in the mouth, you see. Then you know you're advancing, you're progressing. When Krishna consciousness becomes delicious, it becomes tasty, it becomes full of juice at every minute. You see, the Prabhupada explains the devotee of the Lord, he can simply sit somewhere. In traveling, we have to experience it sometimes in the, you know, the airplanes, the airport. There's nothing to do except sit. But someone who is Krishna conscious, he can, even just sitting there and doing nothing, he can just think of Krishna and feel great ecstasy. Is it? Then you know you're progressing. Just by remembering Krishna, you become ecstatic. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's emanating everything from himself at every moment. He's manifested in all things and he is everywhere. Just to encourage me to reconnect with him, to regain my original eternal identity in his service. So anyway, when the taste for the name is increasing and your offenses are decreasing, that's when you're making progress. Questions more? Is everyone satisfied? Everyone is now feeling free of all impediments. All the obstacles are removed from the pathway. It's clear sailing now, with no more distractions, back to home, back to God. And everyone? Or is there some difficulties? Maybe you can explain your difficulty. I can help you conquer that obstacle. Yes. Yes. The first thing to remember is this. There are different levels of Vaishnavas. There's Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari, Uttam Adhikari. Some are neophyte, and they're still plagued with material desires. Some are very advanced, and some are very, very advanced. We have to respect all of them. It's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastri Kai, Lavamatta Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. That even one moment's association with a saintly person, it is declared in all scriptures, even one Lavamatra, 1/11 of a second association can give one all perfection. So we don't want to bite the hand that feeds us. Every Vaishnava, even a neophyte, all levels of Vaishnavas, their association is a great blessing. Like here's a person who believes that Krishna is God. That is great association, even if they're a neophyte with so many material desires struggling still. Every Vaishnava's association is a great blessing. Doesn't mean you have to think that a neophyte, a kanishta, is an uttama. That is not required. Or he's a madhyam. It's not wrong to be able to see who is a kanishta, who is a madhyam, and who is an uttama. There's nothing offense in that. But one must be respectful. Very humbly feel that I'm not even a kanishta yet. You see, a devotee feels I am not a devotee. That is the actual mood of a devotee. He feels I am not a devotee. But somehow I have been blessed by the association of these personalities. So we should never see the Vaishnavas as some materialistic people. We should always look for the good. There are two types of little flying creatures. There's the bees and the flies. The bee, he's simply looking for honey. In the fly, he's looking for sores and he's looking for stool. So Prabhupada says that every person, he has a combination of good and bad qualities. So even amongst devotees, we see we have our good qualities, our bad qualities. So a devotee is someone, he wants to see the good in that person. So the bad may be there, and it's not that we aren't aware of the bad, but we don't dwell on the bad. We see what is the good of this person, what is his wonderful qualities. And here's a wonderful insider secret in this connection. If you are meditating on the faults of the devotees, of this fault, that fault, this devotee has that fault, this devotee has a fault, and looking, oh, look at all these devotees here, they have all these faults. Guess what becomes predominant in your heart? False. Whatever you meditate on, that's what you become. So I'm always finding fault with this devotee, that devotee, then I just become an ocean of faults myself, because that's all I'm meditating on is fault. But if I'm looking, well, this devotee has this quality, this wonderful quality. He offers the arti with such feeling, or he sings with such devotion, or he's so good, such a good manager to manage Krishna's temple, you see. And we look at every devotee and find some wonderful quality about that person, even if we have to look very hard sometimes, We should try to find the good in every single devotee. And then what happens? Because you're meditating on the good qualities, all of those good qualities that you've been meditating on, they become manifest in your heart. So instead of being envious of someone who's more advanced than you, thinking, well, you know, everyone appreciates him as an advanced devotee, but, you know, he has this fault and that fault and this fault and that fault. He's not really such a great devotee as everyone thinks he is. That's called fault finding. But if you think, well, yes, he has this wonderful quality and that wonderful quality in this way, if you think about the wonderful qualities of that devotee, then all you become the inheritor of those good qualities. They become manifest in you. So that's a secret. If you go into an assembly of devotees and you find the good in all of them, you get the benefit of all of their good qualities. You inherit all of their good qualities. So this is a little trick of how to advance very quickly in Krishna consciousness. You just meditate on the good qualities of the devotees and you advance very quickly. In India, there's a technique like that, you know. It's illegal here in Atlanta, but in India they do it. The bicycle riders, you know. I mean, some of the people have to pedal like 40 kilometers to work. You know, it's a long pedal. They just grab onto the bus, you know, and get there very easily, no problem. So if in your mind, you will meditate on the good qualities of the devotees. That's like grabbing onto the bus, you know. You advance very quickly. Whatever advancement they have, you immediately get the advantage of it yourself because you're meditating on their good qualities. So this is an insider's secret, how to quickly advance from Kanishta to Majjhima and Majjhima to Uttama. Meditate on the good qualities of other Vaishnavas. And you'll advance very quickly on this pathway. Any more questions? How much time do we have? Am I going over time as usual? You see, Krishna consciousness is timeless. So once I dive into Krishna Gita, there's no such thing as time. So everybody has to remind me, you know. So anyway, I'm very, very happy that you so kindly received myself and my wife, Vishnupriya Devi Dasi. See, yes. This is the last stop on our... We've been on the road for 14 weeks, going to 14 countries. This is our last stop before we head back to our home base in Austin. So with very auspicious grand finale for our world preaching tour. So thank you very much. Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.